Let's take our Bibles and get back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Here's what the Bible says. I'll read the passage first and then do a little bit of review and then get into what I want us to look at today. Here's what it says in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And there we see what we're supposed to lay aside. We are supposed to lay aside, we are admonished to lay aside weights, things that in and of themselves may not be bad, not sinful, but they're weights to us. Lay those aside, and the sin that doth so easily beset us, let's lay those things aside so that we can run with freedom. Then he says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Now this is laying aside in verse 1. This is what I call looking away in verse 2, because I don't know if you remember last time, but the word looking has the idea of looking away from. Let me read it that way. Looking away from, does not say what, but unto Jesus. So what would it be that we look away from? Everything else but Jesus. Looking away from everything unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So I look away from even those obstacles that are in my life. Now in verse 2 are going to be some obstacles mentioned. Things that were obstacles for Jesus. Look at it. Who for the joy that was set before him, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Here's the first obstacle. Endured the cross. Was that an obstacle for him? Did he suffer tremendous anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane because of what he was about to face? That was an obstacle. Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. A tremendous obstacle. And so we see that we too are to look away from everything unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's look at our objective, the objective, and I want us to see the obstacle to the objective, as I've already started on. And the first thing is the suffering. Who endured the cross. What Jesus looked away from was that. And it says, first of all, who for the joy that was set before him. So understand, he, seeing what was set before him, the joy that was set before him, what joy? The joy that was set before him, he looked away from the cross and looked at the joy that was set before him. You know what? We will do anything to avoid suffering, won't we? But Jesus, who did not have to go to the cross, did you know that? He did not have to go to the cross. The Bible says, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. He died willingly for you and for me, for our sin. Who did not have to go to the cross, but as it says here, he endured the cross. It gives new meaning to what it says in the previous verse, let us run with patience, because it's the same word. Let us run with endurance, because Jesus endured. Now, folks, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, let us run with endurance, even as he endured the cross. And you haven't come near to having faced a cross. In fact, you look at the next verse, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. You think you have it bad. You haven't done anything near what he did on your behalf. The things that we go through for the sake of Jesus Christ are nothing compared to what he went through for our sake. We see grace and we see power when we look back at the cross, but understand something. When he saw that as coming up, it was absolute horror. And it's not just the fact that he suffered on the cross with the pain of the nails and the thorns in the crown of his brow. It had to do with what he took upon himself. What did he take upon himself? Your sin and mine. He became sin for us. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. God laid on him your iniquity. God laid on him your sin. And he endured that. Now, as we run the race, the Christian race, that's what we're talking about. As we run the Christian race, what are the obstacles to the objective of him being the author and the finisher of our faith? Well, number one was the cross. And yet, what did he tell you to do as his disciples? You take up your cross and follow me. So the first obstacle is the suffering of the cross. Secondly, you see it in verse 2, despising the shame. What Jesus looked away from was the shame of the cross. You see, the cross in the ancient world was reserved for the most unfit, subhuman is the way they looked at people who went to the cross. Romans were exempt. You could not crucify a Roman citizen. But slaves and outcasts and the worst criminals, they could be crucified. They treated Jesus like a criminal. They treated him like an outcast. In fact, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree or hangs on a cross. What was the other obstacle for him? Shame. What's one of the obstacles we are to look away from as we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? The shame. The world looks at Christians as, oh, those shameful, pitiable. Yeah, we're just following in the steps of our Lord. That shame did not deter him from obedience to God. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross. Do you get the language there? Even the death of the cross. It was so ignominious, so shameful. Looking away from everything unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Well, that brings us to that phrase, who for the joy that was set before him. I call this the obtainment of the objective. We looked at the obstacles of the objective, but here's the obtainment of the objective. Who for the joy that was set before him. That joy was future. It was on the other side of the cross. He had the cross to face. The joy was on the other side. What we face in this lifetime, we've got to remember there's joy on the other side. After doing what the Father had set before him, the cross, the Father's will, he endured the obstacles that were necessary for him to reach that joy. What is that joy? Let me read you two verses. Listen closely. Here's what it says in Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, who's going to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy? Jesus Christ is. He has that tremendous joy one day to set you to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Listen to Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it, that is the church, that means us, to himself a glorious church. That's the joy that is set before him. And so we are exhorted to endure the race that is set before us. Verse 1, last part. The joy comes not in dropping out, but enduring to the end. We just had an example of somebody who did that. That's who Jesus is. That's why we look away from the same obstacles unto him. The author, the finisher of our faith, we look to him. Jesus shows us how to run the race. James puts it this way in James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. It's talking about Christians. We count them happy which endure. It's not a virtue to have this kind of an attitude. Lord, I'm ready to go now. Please take me anytime. I'm tired of this life. I have nothing else to do, Lord. Please take me anytime. Lord, please come as soon as possible. Now, we are to pray for his soon coming, but is it to get us out of the trouble? Is it to get us out? You know, we look at what's happening in our country. We look around us. We go, man, if God would just come back and get us out of this mess. What about what he's left you here to do, to endure for his sake? Are you tired of enduring? Sometimes it's easy for older people for us to say, you know, it's time for me to get out of the way. No. What about being an example in the battle until the very end? So that when you're going to be executed the next day, you can say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The joy is in Jesus' accomplished work. And that's seen in the last part of the verse, that is verse 2, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, a position of honor. Listen to what Revelation 3:21 says. In fact, this is Jesus himself speaking. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. It's almost like he's going right back to Hebrews 12:2. Imagine the sorrow of a Christian who commits suicide. Imagine the sorrow of a Christian who takes his or her life, who, listen, quit the race. Things were too hard. I do not diminish the pain that some Christians go through. I'm not just talking physically, I'm talking about mentally. Some of the horrible things that we go through, and the loss of friends and loved ones, the pain that people have to endure. But taking your life, when God has, here it is, set the race before you, and he says, run it with endurance. Don't drop out. Keep going. Those who avoid Christ's suffering with him, will not participate in his joy. Go to 1 Peter, since we're right there in Hebrews and the James is next. Go to two books later, to 1 Peter chapter 4. Note what he says, Peter says in verses 12 and 13 of 1 Peter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You see, there is the obtainment of the objective for Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him. Now we see in verse 3 of Hebrews 12, the observation. Starts off with these three words, for consider him. For consider him. So verse 3 here is stating another thing that will help you and me in the obtainment of the objective. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. The word contradiction has to do with hostility. When Jesus walked on this earth 2,000 years ago, was anybody hostile to him? Folks, it began the moment he was born. Who tried to slay him? Herod tried to slay him. It continued when he began his public ministry. Satan tempted him. Sinners tried to push him over a precipice outside his hometown, what became his hometown of Nazareth. They called him a blasphemer. They called him an illegitimate son, an imposter, a wine bibber, a glutton. They arrested him. They whipped him. They plucked out his beard by its roots. They spit in his face. They pressed thorns into his head. The hostility that he faced, yes, for consider him that considered such hostility of sinners against himself. And then when he's going through all that, where are the 5,000 people that he fed? Who wanted to make him king? Where are the 4,000 people? Where are the thousands of people who said, Hosanna, here he comes, the one, our king, Hosanna in the highest. Where are they now? Where are the 10 lepers? One came back to say thanks. But think too about something else. Where were his closest friends, the disciples, who fled? Then he was nailed to the cross and he was mocked while they watched him die. No other man ever endured such pain and humiliation and suffering and mental anguish. No one. Folks, consider him that endured such contradiction, that is hostility against himself. But now notice, are you there in verse 3? Look at the last part of verse 3. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Lest you become weary and faint in your minds. Hey, make the observation. That word consider forces us to logically analyze. That's literally what it means. Logically analyze. Put things in perspective, in proportion. Are you ready to give up? Is everyone against you? Is your life hard? Do you feel deserted? In proportion to what Jesus Christ suffered for you, what are we suffering for him? We don't try to enter into suffering because he suffered. Suffering comes to us naturally as Christians. What if Christ had given up? He would not have become the author and the finisher of our faith. And you would have no hope and neither would I. So when times get difficult, don't get emotional or you're going to be deceived into thinking that you don't deserve what's happening to you. Analyze your situation logically. That's the word consider. Consider him that endured, lest you become wearied and faint in your minds. Put the endurance of your own race in proportion to what Christ endured for you. And you know what? Verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. We're tempted to focus on problems and obstacles. Look away from those things and focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to Christ himself, Run with freedom. Set aside the weights, the sins that so easily beset us, and focus on the race that God has set before us. It is not there accidentally. What God has set before you is not by chance. He set it there. And he knows how difficult it is more than anyone else. Why? Because he endured the same and much more. So let us run with focusing on him, looking away from everything else to the finish line, to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. So let us run with focus, run with freedom. Freedom by laying aside the weights and the sin, focus by looking away from to Jesus Christ. Father,